Hey guys, welcome to the Kevin and Fred Show. My name is Kevin Kaufman. I'm your host, and I just want to say thank you for taking some time out to listen with us this week. Do me a favor, if you don't mind, before we get to today's guest, head on over to ratethispodcast.com. That is ratethispodcast.com/NLA. That stands for Next Level Agents. ratethispodcast.com/NLA and leave us a review, or just go to any podcast player that you prefer and look us up, the Kevin and Fred Show, and please leave us a review. That is the best way to support our efforts here in the show. All right, let's get to today's episode. All right, we're back on the Kevin and Fred Show, and this time I'm actually joined by Fred for a change. This is like your third appearance now on the podcast, buddy.
Thank you. Always enjoy being a guest.
Welcome back. So, all right. So you and I were just talking right before we decided to hit record about the news. It popped yesterday, but by the time this airs, it'll be, you know, a week ago, about Opendoor getting fined by the FTC for like, is it $62 million?
Yeah, there was partying in the streets, I heard, from real estate agents
I've seen
nationwide.
So many real estate agents basically doing touchdown dances over this. It's so stupid, in my opinion. That said, if you are one of those realtors, I don't think you're stupid. I think doing a touchdown dance over this is stupid. First take, though, what's your hot take on hearing this news that they were fined $62 million for effectively deceptive advertising practices?
I mean, my first take is, where are all the other, like, plaintiffs? Is that the correct word? Where are all the other people listed on there, like 72 sold and all these other real estate companies?
72 days old.
I'm sorry. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that make broad claims to their home selling and home buying services that don't back them up. So that's my first thought. Do I think Opendoor should be held responsible? And yeah, absolutely.
Hell yes.
Do I think Opendoor is the devil? No.
Yeah, it's so funny. I don't know how many, I lost count of like whether it was an Instagram or Facebook story or Facebook post about, I've been telling you this for so long, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're out to get you. Like, I think Opendoor did something wrong in the sense that they told the public, we get you more money, or you get more money by coming through us and skipping a realtor. That is factually inaccurate. And that's why they got their hands slapped. However, I'm still maintaining the service that Opendoor provides is something that is needed, and more important than it's needed, it's wanted, and it is it's demanded by consumers. Not that every consumer wants that, but there's enough consumers that do, which is why we have Opendoor, OfferPad, why we had Zillow doing their thing for a while, and all of the countless other iBuyers that are out there.
Look, there's a fee for convenience. If you valet park your car at the front of the restaurant and don't have to walk through the parking lot,
it's extra.
There's typically a fee, whether it's a free valet service and you still tip them in the end, or there's an actual paid valet service. When you trade your car in at the dealership, you kind of know going in, I'm not getting top dollar versus what I could likely sell this for. Yeah. So there's a fee for convenience. And I think Opendoor's mistake has been in there. And this is what they're actually being accused of, right? Or fined, not accused of.
It's a fine.
It's a fine from the FTC. So correction on that. This is what they're being fined for, is misleading advertising. Their whole practice and their business model, in my opinion, is not under scrutiny. It's the marketing message. And I'm not defending them. You and I have seen way too many people in the Phoenix area, clients of ours over the last couple of years, who've opted to sell their home to an OfferPad or an Opendoor because of the convenience factor.
And I would also add to that, not only have we had that happen a lot, whether it was Opendoor, OfferPad, or one of the many other buyers, there's many times where even you and I thought, or the agent on our team felt like that was actually the best bet for that particular homeowner in that particular situation. Right there. Now, there are some people that are like, it's just convenience and not necessarily the best thing for them, other because they just don't feel like it, but it's still their decision to make. What I'm actually most excited about, number one, is I like getting out, just like I don't think realtors should be dumping on and shitting on Opendoor and OfferPad, et cetera. I don't think that they should be doing that to us either.
It goes both ways.
And I think both sides need to just take a step back and chill. Consumer's number one. If consumer was number one, then none of that stuff would be happening. So all you realtors out there tap dancing and celebrating, just chill. That's not, you look dumb to your clients. I promise you. Because again, it's a service that is needed. Here's where I think this can get real interesting, though. And I can see you got some stats you want to share, so I'll let you go with that in a second. But what I want to do is maybe after the stats, I want to talk about what's the trickle-down impact from this. So not what happens today, not the $62 million fine. How does this impact the other investors and iBuyers and wholesalers that quite honestly, I'm starting to get a little frustrated with?
Yeah. Well, before we get into stats, let's maybe step back in time for a few minutes. You and I have talked about this before, but I don't know if it's ever been on a podcast episode. So we've got some listeners out there right now who maybe you're in a market where you don't really experience these iBuyer type of models, or maybe you've always shunned them because you felt like they were out to get your business. The reality is Opendoor started in Phoenix, Arizona. Offerpad started in Phoenix, Arizona. The now defunct Zillow Offers started in Phoenix, Arizona. And I don't think these guys are going anywhere personally. I think they have a lot of money behind them, and there's a convenience fee involved for their services, right? Now, are they going to tweak their model? Are they going to figure out how to be more profitable, make better decisions over time? Absolutely. But I think the thing that we've recognized is that top real estate agents across the country, instead of fighting against these guys, are actually choosing to be what a friend of ours, Brandon, named like a solutions type of dealer, right?
Yeah.
Meaning that you go into your listing appointment, our friends Matt Chick and Jeremy Fust, right? They go into their listing appointment and they've got multiple options at their disposal that they offer their seller clients, right?
Yeah.
Our agents at Group 4610, same thing. We're not going to just go in and say, hey, we're the team, we're going to sign here and we'll have a post in your yard next week. No, let's explore different options that are available to you. Let's present all options. And then as an agent, there is a way for me to get paid no matter which option you choose. So I want to empower the client with all options, and I want the client to see me as the solutions dealer, if you will, that has all the options, the solutions broker, so to speak, right? That presents everything and then lets them choose.
By the way, that's what's having the solutions and the referrals and the resources has been the thing since the beginning of time that helps make a great real estate agent great. Like having the referrals for all the things that your clients, the homeowners, the buyers, the sellers, all the things that they need. Now we're just going, hey, how do we actually help them out more in the transactional stuff, right? That's all that this is.
Yeah.
This isn't anything new.
And for anybody holding on to their belief that, nah, nobody in my database would ever want to sell to one of those guys, you're just wrong.
You're lying to yourself.
I have a friend. His name's Brian.
I remember.
He was one of 50 people that was at my wedding. I had 50 people and I think 4 or 5 children at my wedding. And he sold his home to one of the iBuyers and contacted me afterwards to let me know. And so that was the wake-up call for me. That we're going back several years now, right? But that was the wake-up call for me to realize that as much as I may want to fight these particular solutions and these iBuyers and say they're not good for the consumer, they're not going to make them the most amount of money, there is something to be said for convenience, and some people want the convenience option. And so rather than fight it, you and I have just chosen to embrace it, and we've seen other top agents around the country do the same.
Yeah, you know, you and I could probably both share just experience after experience of different clients. I think of one last year, someone I used to work with a long time ago prior to real estate. This was part of a nest egg retirement. And it was very clear to me that there was an extra $50,000 on the table for him by just putting it in the MLS for a weekend. So go back in time. I'm talking about July of 2021. Think about how hot that was, right?
There wasn't even a month's worth of inventory on the market.
I'm not sure there was 2 weeks of inventory, right?
Yeah.
And I felt like there was at least $50,000 on the table for him. I presented that in no uncertain terms, multiple times, literally tried to talk him out of it. And he still went with the convenient offer. Now, I was lucky enough to get him one that was, I thought, as good as it could possibly get without the MLS. In fact, I was surprised at how high it was. But prior to me obtaining that offer, he was willing to take one even less than that. Like, I'm talking $40,000, $50,000 less than that, because he just didn't want to be bothered with the MLS.
Yep.
Like, so we have so many examples of this. Just because I want top dollar and you might want top dollar, it's proven. Not all of your clients, not all consumers do. That's why these companies exist. That's why they've raised as much money as they've raised. And they've got billions and billions of dollars worth of valuations. It's because the consumers have spoken. They want this option. So this isn't about whether or not iBuying or whatever you want to call it is right or wrong. It's here to stay, I believe.
Yeah. Okay, can we go a quick different direction?
Yeah.
And then I'll come back to you, see which way you want to go. So, okay, they got their hands slapped by the FTC. There's a fine. They'll get over it, right? But you know what's not being reported right now is on their entire business model and what's going on. So let's talk about Opendoor specifically in Phoenix right now. These stats are as of July 29th. I believe July 29th was a Friday. You and I are recording this on Tuesday, August 2nd.
Like a couple days ago.
I mean, by the time people hear this, this information is still less than 10 days old, right? Opendoor has built up an inventory in Phoenix of 1,254 active listings, its largest total since it started operations in 2014. That's why the model's not going away. They've been around since 2014. Okay. The previous record active listing total was only 638 in January of 19. So they've got 1,254 active listings as of July 29th. The weakening demand obviously has affected them as much as anyone. They only have 197 listings under contract right now, Kevin. That's their lowest total since July of 2021. So you can do the math there, right? 197 under contract, 1,254 on the market. The problem these guys are about to face is not the FTC fine. The problem these guys are about to face is they've got a big old amount of inventory that they can't sell, and they bought it earlier this year at some really high prices when the market was still pretty hot. And now in the Phoenix area, we found ourselves going from 2 weeks of inventory to now in most cities in the Phoenix area, 3 to 4 months of inventory. In just a couple short months.
I agree. That's the bigger problem for them currently.
Want to know something else?
Yeah.
It's estimated there's a total of 2,034 homes in inventory for Opendoor. I mentioned the 1,000 and change that were listed, 1,254, but you've heard of that term shadow inventory, where you buy something.
Don't
put it on the market, right? Yeah. You're fixing it up or whatever else the case is. So they actually have as many as 2,034 homes in their total inventory here in the Phoenix area.
That, by the way, that's the problem, not the $62 million fine. That's the problem.
Eight to 9 months of supply.
I assume that's one that they'll figure out, for the record.
Yeah.
They will. Or at least that's what I would bet on. But man, that is sobering.
My last stat for you. This is as of July 29th. Their active inventory represents about 9% of all active listings in the Phoenix MLS, also known as Armless.
Yeah, I was doing the math in my head there. I just didn't want to say it out loud because I was going to say 10%. So that's a lot.
So, I could give you the same set of stats on OfferPad. It's not much better either, by the way.
Yeah, and it's just at a lower scale. Mm-hmm. You know, here's the thing. Yes, they were fined. They were fined for deceptive advertising, not because what they do is wrong. You know, not because what they do is wrong. Like, some people will sit there and argue and say it's wrong.
They said about what they do is wrong.
Yes.
What they actually do is not wrong. No. That's not very much different to many other real estate teams, agents, and brokers who advertise certain statistics of, you know, selling homes for more than blah, blah, blah.
X amount more, like 11% more or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think what will be interesting, though, is because they did get fined by the FTC, which is a big deal. I think what that did is it's going to shine a light, right? I'm going to say that part of the industry, which is not just what these companies do, but wholesalers, I think, are going to be under even more. I mean, you and I have been talking about this offline for a while. Like, you know, we've been around some wholesalers who, by the way, I think there's a lot of ethical, good people who do wholesaling. I think there's a good way to do it. And I think there are some snakes out there too. Yep. And I think that what's going to happen is the trickle down could just be a bigger light, you know, being shined on what's happening on kind of the mom and pop practices of, even though they're not iBuyers, they're effectively wholesalers, right?
Yeah, at the risk of over trying to estimate what may happen in the future, if you were asking for me to guess, I would say that we're moving towards anybody that buys or sells a home that is not their principal residence is going to have to be licensed.
It
seems like we're moving that direction. Some of you know.
We should.
Yeah, we should.
Why shouldn't we be?
Well, it levels the playing field. There's some investors out there that choose not to get licensed for certain reasons, and then they're not under the same regulations when it comes to their marketing and their practices.
Yeah, usually, not always, but usually I find when someone doesn't want to have a license because they don't want to have to play by the same rules, it means they're not following a set of rules that would be deemed acceptable by the public. It means there's something somewhere in that process. I'm not saying 100% of the time. However, it's kind of like, I don't know, we should probably just disclose all the information instead of trying to hide it.
If you're out there listening, I'd love to know, do wholesalers have to be licensed in your state? I believe in Oklahoma there was recent legislation passed, and I believe there's at least one other state out there in the U.S. where you have to be licensed to do wholesale deals. I know the Houston Board of Realtors came out early in 2022 and said there might be some movement towards requiring licensing on wholesalers. I think what you're going to see is that, of course, the Board of Realtors and the Departments of Real Estate want to make these people get licensed. Why? Well, the Departments of Real Estate have to go after them and fine them and everything else, right, for doing things they shouldn't. But also, like, this is a money grab.
It's income. Yeah.
It's income. So they're going to use their influence and whatever else to try to get as many of these states across the U.S. over the next few years to require licensing for wholesalers.
Well, I mean, I know this is different and this could feel like a stretch, but it's like, I don't know. I want my doctor to actually be a doctor, you know, and not someone who just practices playing a doctor on the internet, right? So there should be some sort of licensing. There's some sort of body that says, hey, this person has a certain set of standards, right, that they're going to go by because they're dealing with the public. And in most cases, like, it's a big deal for most people to buy or sell a home. It's a lot of money involved, right? And so I think there should be some sort of guideline, set of rules that people follow, and shouldn't just be the wild, wild west.
Yeah, interesting stuff coming down, but this open door fine was pretty interesting news to get this week. And but I think the more interesting thing is the opportunity that's out there for agents where, hey, right now, if I'm in the Phoenix area with a buyer, I'm probably going out and showing all the open door listings I can. Historically, they haven't liked to come down on their price, but you can't tell me that those guys want to sit around with 8 or 9 months worth of inventory too long. You know, there's a lot of opportunity out there in the market here for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right. I guess that's it for today's episode. Do you have anything you want to end with?
No, maybe next time we'll talk about 72 old or whatever you wanted.
You like that one, right? Huh? I was pretty proud of myself.
Real quick, I noticed their recent billboards and advertising just say, sell your home.
Are you serious?
Sell your home. That's all, Kevin. Sell your home, 72 sold. I guess the brand is now strong enough that the 72 sold no longer implies we'll sell it in 72 hours. Perhaps it will be 72 days soon, 72 weeks. I don't know.
Huh.
Interesting.
Maybe Gary could call you and let you know. All right, that's it. See you guys next week.
Did you enjoy today's podcast? Join the Kevin and Fred community, part of eXp Realty, and partner with us today. You'll get free access to live trainings 2 or more times a month, live events and in-person masterminds, digital downloads to help you run and scale your business, and much, much more. To learn more and join our community, visit kevinandfred.com/contact and contact us today. Not ready to join our community? No problem. Continue enjoying all this great content on our podcast for free.